You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching, co-owner of Calls on Call Shared Receptionist Services, and author of the Bold Business Book, available on Amazon. Today, we are welcoming slash preparing to learn from Sarah Lasker, owner of Healthy and Hygge. How are you doing today, Sarah?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
So before we go any further, you got to tell me the Hygge part, because I know you told me, but I think the listeners, they need to know.
Yeah, so when people see it, it's spelled H-Y-G-G-E, and they're like, Hygge, Hygge, and they're like, how do I say that? And I always say, like, you know, remember that, when did they say, toga, so
sure.
Hygge. How I let folks kind of remind them of how to use it,
sure.
You know, here in the United States, because we're not as used to the word hygge,
right?
Because it's a Danish concept.
Little.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So we're not even close to it at all. So yeah, healthy and hygge.
The Danish people—they're good at just throwing consonants and then random vowels in there.
Yes.
Right?
Good luck. Here you go. Forget any education you've had. There you go.
Sure.
Done.
So hygge. Tell us about what is hygge.
Yeah, it's basically a Danish concept about wellness and health. How do you bring authenticity and comfort? Basically, I think is one of the biggest keys into it.
Mm-hmm.
Comfort and coziness into it. So many times, we think you have to be like, go, go, go. But they're actually like, hey, take a couple steps back, relax,
sure.
De-stress, and enjoy a cup of coffee. Put your feet up on the couch. Cuddle under a blanket. It's becoming wintertime.
I feel
so
like
just relax.
You're talking to the wrong person here. I don't know if I can keep up with that. Just anytime I try to relax, my brain just says, nah, you've had your sip.
Yeah, but I kind of can be along that same line at times. But
sure.
It's like, okay, trying to find that relaxing piece, you know,
sure.
Like tonight, for example, you know, is The Voice on TV, which is one of my most favorite shows. So it's like,
all
okay,
right.
I need to sit down and kind of watch it. But 9 times out of 10, I'll probably be doing something else in the process.
Sure.
So
that's
trying to, you know,
being productive, right? Is there anything wrong with it?
No, productivity. Sure. But you got to give your brain a little bit of a shutdown. So
that's
it's kind of that concept of shutting it down a little bit.
That's fair. Okay. So then the healthy part.
Yeah.
You essentially help people be healthy and cozy, or?
Yeah. So it's a process of, you know, with my background, I have a master's in health education. So I've been doing health education I'm glad we're on radio and not on TV where they can see the crinkles
sure.
around my eyes of how old I really look at times. But it's really along the lines of, how do you incorporate that healthfulness? Like whether
mm-hmm.
it's eating, making better choices with food, making, you know, sleeping, whether
sure.
it's, you know, relaxation. What are those different pieces of our health and wellness?
Mm-hmm.
So you incorporate that with a little bit of the hygge. So it's not that go, go, go all the time. There is some relaxation that goes
sure.
along with it.
Gotcha.
So bridging that gap between the two.
Okay. Interesting. So a typical client for you would be someone that is not eating well, or someone that just doesn't feel the comfort, or maybe doesn't know how to slow down, maybe?
It's a good, all those things would be a really good combination.
Asking for a friend.
Yeah, just asking for a friend, you know, just saying it's a friend, you know, that, you know, those sort of aspects. It's really just, what are people looking for? If they're looking for, how do I start to slow down a little bit and,
mm-hmm.
you know, take, you know, like my grandmother is 97 years old.
Wow. All right.
She still takes her walk every day
okay.
and has her glass of red wine.
Nice.
And she does those sort of things. So it's like really, okay, so she's doing something along those lines. So really
mm-hmm.
trying to bring people back to kind of slowing down a little bit, appreciating those things that we may not
sure.
appreciate as much as we're hopping on our cell phones or hopping on, you know, a different
mm-hmm.
different aspect. So bringing it back and helping people really say, where do I want to get out with of my life?
Sure.
And help bring them back to that piece.
That's fair. I imagine you could probably do coaching alone for telling people just to set their phone down.
Especially now that, like, I know the Apple products have, like, you've been on your phone for this many hours and you've done this many.
You haven't accomplished a thing.
You haven't done anything today but play on your phone. You're like,
right.
All right, great, thanks, appreciate that.
Well, it's good that they're making you aware, right?
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Step one is awareness, right?
Exactly. It totally is.
So the ideal client for you, are they coming to you, or is this someone where you're reaching out to them? Or
it's a combination, in all
okay.
honesty. It's really, you know, like this last weekend I was at a health and wellness fair over in the Milwaukee area.
Oh, sure.
So over there it was really, you know, people who were looking for those different changes.
Mm-hmm.
So they in a way were coming, you know, coming to me, but yet I was coming to them because I'm based out of Madison, although I meet people and talk to people all over.
Sure.
You know, all over the United States mostly, not necessarily the whole entire world, although it could be based on, I know, wait, with Skype and everything, how it's going. So a lot of it is that kind of combination of them coming and finding me, or they've heard about me. A lot of it is that word of mouth, like, hey, I talked to so-and-so, and they said you could be a really good connection, a really good connector, and that has been really one of the biggest ways of getting clients, for sure.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. So the trade shows work?
They do. Yeah, I think they do. I mean, I have one of the things I do here in Madison is the Healthiest Happy Hour in Madison. So we try, you know, make healthy choices around happy hour because we do live in Wisconsin.
Sure.
And, you know, people come in because they enjoy happy hour, but yet they also want to, you know, maybe learn some other health and wellness things around it. So really, you know, they come in because there's some sort of peak of interest to them.
Okay.
So it's that kind of happy medium for both of them.
Okay. You got to walk me through this because
The
healthiest happy hour, I assume you guys aren't just ordering piles of cheese curds.
I know. Wouldn't that be awesome? Cheese curds and like beer, like you'd be like done.
You might have to change the name to the unhealthiest hour. But...
Yeah. Well, I mean, the reason I even started thinking about it was like as a runner, like I go, you know, I mean, you go and you run like a half marathon, and at the end they give you 2 free beer tickets, and you're like, "I just was out exercising for like," but it is kind of a healthy, but that's like a healthy hygge type aspect where you're out exercise, you're getting that physical activity, but yet you come back and you're doing a social aspect by having the beer. So like the healthiest happy hour, a lot of times is more like I've done it with a couple different businesses around town, like. Can I say their names? Okay.
Yep.
I wasn't sure if I could say that. Sorry.
Totally say their name. Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. So, like, for example, like Supercharge over on East Wash and First.
Okay.
You know, I partner with them, you know, for a healthy happy hour, you know, once a month. So basically people can come in, you know, for example, and grab a healthier treat. And then also along those lines. And I've also done stuff with like Cycle Bar over at Hilldale where you go and you get your great, you know, you get an awesome workout, you know, there. But then you come on out and you also can have a cup of tea or a glass of water and something along those lines. So it's incorporating some kind of physical activity and or healthy food option with those pieces. So healthy is happy hour.
That is clever.
Yeah.
When do those happen?
The ones that with Supercharge are usually, well, most of them are Wednesday nights.
Okay.
So Supercharge is actually going to be coming up in, next week or so, but it's usually like the first Wednesday of the month.
Okay.
And then usually the ones with Cycle Bar are like the second Wednesday of the month.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So if people wanted to see that event calendar, could they see it on your website?
Yep, definitely.
Okay. And what's the website?
Yeah. www.healthyandhygge.com. And that's healthyandhygge.com.
All right. So spell it the and, and hygge is hygge.
Yep. So
probably get sick of saying that, right?
You know, you say it enough, but it'll catch on. Other times people are like, hey, I've heard of that before. I know that concept.
Oh, nice.
All right,
interesting.
Cool.
Interesting.
So,
very cool.
Yeah.
So tell me the story. What made you decide to start your own business?
So I've been doing health education for... I have my master's degree in health education, and I've been doing health education in a variety of different spaces, you know, K-12, higher education, government, the clinical side. I've also, trained in that. So I've done health education in a lot of different realms.
Sure.
And finally was like, something is missing in the way that I'm sharing it and presenting it. And one, it was hygge, and two, it was the whole concept of starting a small business, which... You know, kind of, you know, what we're talking about a little bit here today. I come from an education background, and starting a business, I was like, where do you even go with this? So it was a whole new kind of like, how do you market? How do you get an LLC? How do you do all these different pieces? It was kind of along the lines of, okay, here are those next steps. Let's see what we can do.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how long have you had your business?
About a year and a half.
A year and a half. Okay. So at what point did you decide that you were going to go into business on your own?
About 2 years ago. About 2 or so years ago, I took the small business class at the University of Wisconsin.
Okay.
I took their class and was like, wow, this, you know, just to get an idea of what are those next steps, just to make sure, hey, what am I really doing? I also received a business coach in that process. I applied for an application and scholarship and got a business coach in the process. So I really just talking with her. Through the university.
Okay,
So through that process, received a business coach as well as took the course just to understand the business world.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, so I tried out when I initially did it. It was really focused directly in the world of diabetes.
Okay.
Which, you know, I was like, okay, that's too niche of a market. How do I spread it out a little bit in the process? Still utilizing my background, utilizing my training, but branch it out.
Sure.
So about, I was working full-time actually at the government during that point in time, and our grant was coming to an end. So I was kind of like... All right. So this, yeah. So that was part of the reason I said this seems like the best mix for starting doing the business full time.
Sure.
So thankfully, I had done some prep work, you know, of taking the course, learning more about it, learning more about just business in general.
Sure.
Before starting it.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice. So you essentially had a business coach before you even opened your doors.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
And you said something interesting there in regards to having the niche market. You were essentially initially targeting the diabetes market.
Correct.
But at what point did you decide that was too niche?
I think it was more along the lines when, it was just, you know, I mean, I've been doing the diabetes world for a lot of years. I'm trying to remember exactly what the pinpoint was.
Okay.
I can't think of what it was off the top of my head, but I really wanted to branch out a bit more just because I did a lot more branching out in my experiences. It's like you can be so niche that you can't tap into those other things that you can do. And so I really wanted to be able to tap into those other pieces. I still offer and work with people specifically who have diabetes, you know, especially since November's Diabetes Awareness Month. It's like,
Nice.
So let's make sure we're really, you know, working along those lines.
Sure.
But also I was like, I really want to help other people along that way too and work with people who are looking for something more than just their diabetes management.
Sure. Do you mind if we go down the diabetes road a little
bit? No, not at all.
Awesome. Okay. Because I had a friend that had diabetes when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I remember him having a, I don't know if they call it a seizure, a reaction,
sure.
I think they always call it.
Yep.
And that scared me.
Yeah.
I think I was like 9 years old, or we were both 9 years old.
Yeah.
I was thinking like, we got to solve this. And I knew more or less what to do because I'd been around him enough, but it was one of those things that was kind of freaky.
Yeah.
So, because I'd only heard about them until that time.
Sure.
So, that said, you have a bunch of people that have diabetes, and I imagine that's a growing crowd.
In the type 2 realm more so than the type 1.
Sure.
Which I can explain the difference between that, you know, kind of going forward too.
Sure. Let's get to that in a bit.
Yep.
So when you're working with these people, what are you doing? Are you helping them from a nutrition standpoint? Or is it more, I guess, just help me with what that
is. Yeah, it's an overall wellness standpoint. It's, you know, definitely, you know, nutrition-based. It's, you know, it's socially, because sometimes people socially are like, do I say I have diabetes? Can I say I have it?
Okay.
Is it going to hinder my job application if I say I have diabetes?
Sure.
So that's a professional side to it as well. I mean, so there's, you know, so that's, I guess, occupationally, socially, you know, how, you know, I want to go out and hang out with my friends. Can I have an alcoholic beverage? Can I have those cheese curds we talked about, you know, earlier? How do you mix all that in? So it's really, how do you bring it into the social realm, physical. I mean, there's so many different pieces with the physical aspect, because exercise can help lower the blood sugar and, you know, different foods. And when we eat them, all about timing. So it's really a lot of those pieces.
Gotcha.
And then just the emotional side. It's a lot of work having diabetes.
Okay.
And how do you, you know, socially and emotionally prepare yourself for a lot of those different pieces? So, I mean, a lot of it is also emotional responses. You know, they want to talk about it, but then it's like, you know, it just took so much out of me to be able to do that or to talk about that.
Sure.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different pieces that kind of go along with it.
Okay. So you can help both type 1 and type 2 essentially?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
So help us with the difference, because
So
I'm
basically
ignorant in that realm.
Hey, no worries. So as I'm a certified diabetes educator. So as a certified diabetes educator, you will have training. I think you have to have 2 years, at least 2 years with your specific, whether you're a nurse or most certified diabetes educators are nurses or dietitians.
Okay.
I'm only one of 11 who are health educator certified diabetes educators in the world right now.
Wow.
Congrats. So I look, thanks. Yeah. So I look at it from a more holistic kind of viewpoint. So really, you know, knowing the difference with type 1, a lot of times it used to be called juvenile diabetes.
Okay.
So more often than not, it's diagnosed in kids, although it can be diagnosed at any point in time or any time along the age spectrum. With type 1, your pancreas does not work.
Okay.
You have to either take the insulin injections that your friend was doing at age 9.
Yep.
And or now there's so many more advancements, like you have an insulin pump, various insulin pumps that are giving you your insulin throughout the course of that time, as well as they have continuous glucose monitor, so you know what's happening with your blood sugar at any point in time.
Okay.
And then
on the fly.
On the fly, yeah.
Okay, because I remember this kid having to do the little fingerprint thing.
Yep, you still have to. You still technically do the finger checks.
Okay.
But then you can also do it on the fly and be like, hey, right now my blood sugar is this.
Okay.
My blood glucose is this, and I can adjust accordingly from there.
Gotcha.
So the advancements in technology that have come with that.
All right.
Amazing.
Nice.
And then on the type 2 side, so a lot of out there we may have heard more about prediabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Prediabetes is basically those that are at the stage of before they have type 2 diabetes. They have elevated blood glucose levels and or there's weight concerns and or eating concerns in that process. So it's more of a, it's not necessarily, there's still some genetic pieces, but it's much more along the lifestyle
choices. So it's on the verge of self-induced kind of thing?
A little bit, but a lot of it is also, there is still a lot of it also genetic based.
Okay.
And then prediabetes is the one that turns into type 2. Mm-hmm. And those with type 2 sometimes can manage with diet and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why maybe you've seen on TV like Paula Deen, I've cured diabetes or something like that. And she is not.
Paula Deen?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Or something, you know, one of those type people back in the day they used to say. Yeah. Like Miss Butter. Like she was diagnosed with diabetes. She's like, oh, I no longer have it. And actually, you will always have it. You may have put it into remission when it comes on the type 2 side.
Okay.
And type 2 can be handled, like I said, with diet and exercise. Oral medications can handle type 2.
Okay.
And or also insulin injections.
Gotcha.
Okay. So there's some various, very different, you know, aspects to be able to take care of type 2 diabetes versus type 1.
That's so interesting. I could see if my doctor would tell me, not that I go to the doctor that much, but if
yeah,
I would.
Yeah.
And they would say, hey, James, you are on the verge of having diabetes. I can tell you I'd be hitting the treadmill as hard as I could. Because watching my 9-year-old buddy, I guess I was friends with him for a long time.
Yeah.
Going through the blood things and then the reactions. I ended up seeing a few of them that he had. And just him getting pricked with a needle.
Mm-hmm.
It was just another day for him, right?
Right,
oh, time
right.
to get pricked with a needle, whatever.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, he had to bring stuff with him, right? He always had to have snacks just in case. And which that part didn't seem terrible, right? But just the volume, it's one more thing from a maintenance point of view. And I like, I do everything I can to minimize the maintenance in my life.
Right,
so
right.
I'd be hitting that treadmill as hard as I could.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, it is maintainable.
Sure.
I mean, you can do a lot of different things. Like,
right.
you know, on a personal level, I've had type 1 diabetes for over 35 years.
Okay.
I've run marathons. I've been to all 50 states.
Sure.
I've managed it. Like, you know, my blood sugar is on my phone right now if I really needed to know
clever.
What's going on. So all those different things I talked about
sure.
is also because it is doable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the big things that maybe your buddy didn't have when he was a kid, or maybe he did, I know we have it in Wisconsin. I grew up in Michigan and we had it over there, was a camp for kids with diabetes.
Oh.
And that was like, so a summer camp, like just a regular summer
sure,
camp that you go
have,
to.
Yeah, I don't know.
And you go to the camp and you learn, you know, everyone there has diabetes. So you're like, hey, I'm not alone in this process.
Sure.
Granted, this was much more focused type 1 back in the day versus
right.
we didn't have as much of the prediabetes and type 2, which are the more common ones that we see now.
Sure.
But, you know, everyone there had diabetes. Everyone checked their blood sugar. Everyone gave their insulin injections. Everyone
mm-hmm.
looked at what they were eating, what they were doing.
Sure.
Everyone, you know, so you had people that were just like you
mm-hmm.
in that process.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you essentially went down the road of helping people with diabetes because you yourself have diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
That
was
made
my
it
biggest
easy transition.
Yeah, it was easier transition along those lines for sure because
mm-hmm.
I think it was really, I guess what I didn't have growing up was someone that got it.
Oh. Okay.
And so quote unquote got it. Like mm-hmm. you know I always felt as though I would go in to see the nurse or the doctor and they would just be like, oh, just do this, this, and this.
Sure.
But they had no idea what this, this, and this really did.
Oh,
besides from, except for what they'd heard from other patients
sure.
or what they had read in a book.
Sure.
And I'm like, I don't want to be that way for other people.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I really
sure.
wanted to do it along these lines was to say, hey, let's really show that you can live it. Let's figure it out because every day is different. No
sure.
2 days are the same.
Sure.
How do we make it to the next day and go along those lines?
That's interesting. I feel that way about some of the other business coaches. I think you read a few books, but have you ever actually owned a business? So
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, you could probably argue that with just about any profession, right? Where it's a professional service. I was just watching a video of a guy preaching to some personal trainers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said one of the biggest problems that personal trainers have for selling their services is they're not following their own advice and they're overweight or blah, blah, blah. Like, would you take personal training advice from someone that was 500 pounds overweight? Or maybe that's
No.
Extreme, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not, and that's one of the biggest things that, you know, at least in my business right now, mm-hmm. I really want to be a role model and mm-hmm. be authentic. Like, what you see with me, you know, like here as we're talking or at some other event, you know, mm-hmm. that's really what you get. Like, sure. You know, I don't want to say, hey, you know, I'm just going for this run or I'm just doing this because,
right.
Oh, it's just, you know, I have to do it. Like mm-hmm. I was out for a run this morning because I love to run. I love to do those different things. And I'm not going to tell people, hey, go do this.
Right.
If I don't enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
you know, or I'm not going to, you know, I think that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to help coach people through things,
mm-hmm.
sometimes take your own advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was talking to another, I shouldn't say talking to, I was looking at some social media, killing time.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Looking at some social media and I see these posts for a person that trains people that was talking mm-hmm. about them personally going on their little run or doing their little weightlifting thing, whatever. And they were having, they're like, oh, I hate doing this, but it's 4 a.m. and you gotta blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking, you know, I love hitting the gym. There are few things in this life that I love better
yeah.
than either going for a run or going to the gym. Because mm-hmm. to the point, it's all mindset, right?
Right. Hey, huge, huge part to it.
You gotta enjoy it. I have a hard time understanding people that don't.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get just sitting there, right? So it's interesting. Like, this is a person whose sole job it is, self-prescribed, right? They started a business helping people doing this.
Yep, yep.
And they're kind of illustrating the pain, which maybe that's applying to some of their clients, but you're essentially saying do this regardless of the pain instead of, you know, ain't the pain.
Well, that's why I found part of the hygge was that it does incorporate that, like, hey, enjoy what you're doing, like mm-hmm. you know, we want to, you know, back to my grandma I was talking about, you know, she enjoys what she enjoys herself.
Sure.
Like she, you know, she lives in Southern Michigan. And so it's winter over there sometimes, you know,
yeah, half the year,
just like we have in Wisconsin. And,
right.
you know, she still has a path around her apartment. So if she still wants to get her steps in for the day.
Sure.
She does that inside. It's because she enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because she has to.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were just talking the other day and she's like, I enjoy it. Like this for me invigorates me, gives me energy,
sure.
Keeps me going.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's along those lines when you're, you know, in a business and or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
make sure you're showing that authentic self forward and doing
sure.
those pieces along with it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if you aren't, then that's
right.
That's a challenge.
Absolutely. So let's shift back into you starting your business. You decide,
sure.
hey, I'm not sure if this job is going to stick around. I'm taking some business classes. I got the coach to help me.
Yep.
I figure out what my niche is going to be. What were some of the next steps you took to decide specifically what you're going to do for your business?
Yeah. I mean, as we were kind of talking earlier, I started off in the diabetes realm
mm-hmm.
and specifically there and realized, okay, I need to change it up a little bit just
sure.
to better represent myself in the process. Because
mm-hmm.
I really, you know, if I'm here, you know, from a branding standpoint, I have to be my brand.
Pigeonholed, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I'm like, I have to be my brand.
Sure.
And so how do I represent my brand? By, you know, doing the things that I enjoy doing and making sure I share that out there.
Sure.
And really realizing, you know, I read the book on, there was a book on hygge and what it was. And I'm like, I could still do some of this relaxation because I think
sure.
it's important to socialize and have fun with your friends
mm-hmm.
or, you know, with your family and be a part of that. But also you can be healthy and make healthy choices in that process. Like
okay.
I've been doing that for a lot of years. And I was like, wow, I read that concept and was like, boom, why has this not been there
sure.
before? And that was, yeah.
So you read this before you started your business?
Before I started my business.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I had started already the diabetes portion of it.
Okay.
But was just like, you know, you live with diabetes, you work with diabetes.
Sure.
You can get a little burnt out on diabetes
sure.
after a while.
That's
not
fair.
Gonna lie, anyone with diabetes gets me on that one.
Right.
But so I was kind of like, I want to be able to branch out because I do more than just, my life's more than just diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out doing so many other things.
Sure.
How do I branch that out?
And so you're kind of looking for some other way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was really like looking at my training and my background
mm-hmm.
and blending it in with this, like, hey, how do you bring in some of that
sure.
comfort and relaxation in the process?
All
we
right.
do live in Wisconsin and it does get cold during the winter months. So
sure.
how do we
huh.
still stay some, you know, still stay healthy versus
mm-hmm.
want to, you know, get under the covers and, you know,
sure.
watch TV all day long.
Right.
Although,
right.
you know, you can do that every now and then, but,
right.
you know, in moderation.
Sure.
So,
interesting.
Yeah. So it was just really this kind of like feeling of, I knew there was something missing in that piece.
Sure.
And that piece that was missing for me was hygge.
Okay.
And yeah, so I was like, so I tried to do as much research and information as I could on it,
mm-hmm.
and really, you know, found, hey, it there isn't necessarily like an English equivalent to the words that they use in the Danish culture for
Yeah, we
it.
Don't use the word relax unless you mention a couch and TV.
Exactly, exactly.
There's probably alcohol involved somewhere, right?
That's welcome, just, yes, especially welcome to Wisconsin in that. Yeah. Whew, hands down on that one. I'm yeah. like, yeah. But yeah, it's so intriguing. Like, and how mm-hmm. do you bring it all together? And you still can do that. Like, I did have my, I don't think I still have it in my car. I usually have like my yoga bag and stuff in my car, sure. so I can just, you know, stop over and go to a yoga class or do something relaxing along those
sure.
lines,
sure.
which is still a healthy choice
mm-hmm.
in that process. So mm-hmm. it was really, how can you still be authentically yourself,
mm-hmm.
be relaxed, but yet still do the things you love to do?
Sure. So in starting your business, what were some of the challenges that you came across that maybe you didn't realize you would, or you just didn't understand how to or didn't know how to overcome them?
Yeah. I mean, well, first off, my business is an LLC, so I did not know the steps and how you had to go through to get an LLC.
Sure.
You know, so that was like one of the first major things. Then opening a different, you know, opening a, you know, a bank account that mm-hmm. was, you know, specifically for your business. How
sure.
do you do those pieces? Like,
okay.
like I mentioned kind of earlier, I'm coming from an education background, and I sure. was like, so many things that I didn't know how to do.
mm-hmm.
And like, a lot of times I know people have challenges like with their website. Thankfully, mm-hmm. my husband is like Mr. Pro, like he's in the IT world. So if
nice.
You check out my website, it's because he can do all the awesome stuff behind the scenes on it.
Okay.
But it's like things like that, those kind of things. You're like, how do I do that? Or how do I get a local phone number? Because
sure.
I, you know, I don't want to always be using my own cell phone. I want an actual local number.
Right.
How do I do that? How mm-hmm. do I do those different pieces? So, I mean, those are just kind of some of those pieces along the lines that I'm like, oh, or getting a, because I, you know, I meet people, part of my business is I meet people where they are. I don't have a brick and mortar
okay.
spot. So I meet
sure.
people where they are. So how mm-hmm. do I get an address so that Google can find me
uh-huh.
in the process? That's not my home address. So
sure.
that, you know, I can still receive mail. I can still mm-hmm. be on, you know, Google Maps and different things like that, because
sure.
a lot of people will search on like Google Maps for life and wellness coach or health coach or wellness coach, and
that's
what's going to pop
thing.
Up.
Huge thing.
Yeah. Yep. So it's like, I want to make sure I have a physical location that they can say, hey,
mm-hmm.
here she is. This mm-hmm. is, you know, let me go check out the website from here.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, some of those type of things. And then just healthy and hygge, trademarking it. I actually
okay.
have it in the trademark process, and I
nice.
Yeah.
Do you want to go down that road a little?
Sure, you want to? Yeah.
I do.
Oh my gosh. Let me tell you the start of that one.
Okay.
I applied for the trademark November of last year.
Okay.
So maybe December. So it's
okay.
been almost a year.
All right.
And the different pieces, like, they don't even look at, like, hey, you've put your application in. They, you know, it goes up to what the USPTS, I forget what that stands for, the United States
Patent and Trademark Office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it goes up to them. They don't even look at it for like 6 months.
Oh.
So it's in there.
Somebody's inbox is just 10
somebody's
feet
inbox.
Tall.
I guess so. I don't, it just they even say on their website, we don't even look at this for 6 months.
Huh.
So I put it in November, December of 2017.
Sure.
And then finally get an email in April timeframe. I guess that was 5 or 6 months later.
Okay.
And they're like, hey, okay, great. We've received it. Here are the things we need from you.
Sure.
And you really have to kind of go down, narrow it down to what am I specifically trademarking?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like looking to specifically trademark. I have, healthy and hygge in terms of life and wellness coaching.
Sure.
Also, I'm looking at some different, why am I blanking on the word? Clothing line, some different clothing
sure.
lines as well, like so that
nice.
It kind of goes along those pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So, and just some different aspects like that. And so to be able to apply, each of those are different application processes for each one of those.
Sure.
So I ended up hiring a lawyer to help in that process.
Nice.
I used someone out of Oregon.
Okay.
Out of the state of Oregon, not
gotcha.
Oregon, not Oregon, you know, Wisconsin, Oregon, as in
sure.
like outside of Portland, Oregon.
Yep.
Just because they had specialties in that sort of aspect. And so
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, here are the different things. And she basically says to me, what do you really want out of this? What are the things you really want? Because every time you put in for more of it
mm-hmm.
or put in to say, this is going to be trademarked, this is going to be a registered trademark, you have to spend a couple hundred dollars, more than a couple hundred dollars on each
right.
piece of it.
Sure.
So it's not just a trademark for everything. So
all
I put that, you know, I went and utilized her and went through that process. And then I'm still waiting now for it to officially say, like registered trademark at the end. It's in their box and they have it, and there hasn't been any, they have like an opposition period. Nobody opposed anything. It was like going through, like no problem. But then they're still waiting on their side. Like, so I still like, so I'm, a lot of my marketing tools and things now I have TM after it because it is trademark, because it is intellectual property. Here you go. But still waiting.
Not to the point of having that little R.
Circle. Right. So it's very intriguing, like how long of a process it takes and how much money it costs to be able to do that too.
I imagine they cash the check right away, right?
They didn't
take 6 months to do that.
Yeah, they didn't take any time on that one. Basically, I feel like unless you put your money in, they're not going to go to the next level with it.
Sure.
So it's like, okay. So yeah, so now it's just waiting for whatever that next step is. The next step should be that it has a little R at the end. But
interesting. And so, my first company, I went down the road of trademarking it.
Yeah.
Trademarking the logo and the name.
Okay.
And I invested a year, and I didn't hire an attorney or anything like that, which maybe I should have, because I never got it completed. I ended up selling the business before it ever went through.
Oh, wow.
And I just let the buyers know, like, this is where I'm at with this. You're welcome to take it over.
Yeah.
But realistically, it's kind of one of those, what are you protecting?
Sure.
Because if someone were to take a name or borrow a name, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Right.
Right? You're going to dink around with court and all that jazz? So you got to say, oh, there's more expense than that? Because there's no guarantee.
Exactly.
And once you register it, that no one will.
Exactly.
So I understand there's a professionalism that comes with it. So that's super cool. And I thought, oh, that'd be kind of neat. You know, I've established business, so maybe it's time.
Right.
You know, climb that mountain. And I was expecting 2 weeks, right? A couple emails, a form, here's a check, and away we go. But what in the world?
I know. And it's just, it's amazing. Like, and you know, I mean, I still think it's definitely valuable. I mean, it's, you know, like you said, it's, for me, it's protecting the intellectual property of it. Like, you know, as you know, you talked earlier, I'm only one of 11 with those certifications. So it kind of in my brain goes, okay, yeah, we'll keep pursuing it at this point in time. But it's a long process. Like I thought, oh, like you said, you know, I thought, oh yeah, 2 weeks, no worries. And now I'm like, it's been 11 months. Yeah, we're still waiting on this. Like, but, you know, still utilizing the TM part of it.
Sure.
So I'm just making sure you're using that in the different places and whatnot. And that's still one of those pieces that I'm like, okay, I have to remember to use that each time as well.
So what are the rules? Because I just had the Jills of All Trades were
On
here.
Yeah.
Were on here. Was a company, plural people. Holy
they
cow.
They were on here.
English
yes.
editors. Yeah. Smoking their ears right now. What in the world, James? Anyways, they were on here.
Yeah.
And I see they put the TM after their name.
Yep.
I think just about literally everything, including their email address.
Yes.
So it was to the point when I received the email, it stuck out like a sore thumb because you never see that.
Exactly.
I guess I'm not emailing Pepsi or something like that. So maybe on the bigger companies.
But theirs would be registered already. They would have the R.
Sure.
So they wouldn't necessarily,
So with the email, because it's all text, I suppose there's a way to put the little circle around the R.
Yeah. But I don't know that. I'll let you know after I get there. Maybe maybe in a month or so, hopefully.
Sure.
Or next year at this time.
Right. And I can remember I used to read Hot Rod Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Hot Rod has their Power Tour, right? This little national car show thing.
Yep.
And they would write Hot Rod Power Tour in their magazine. They put a little TM on it. And when you're reading an article about it, when they mention that 50 million times, you get the little TM in there 50 million times.
Yep.
And I can remember a little letter to the editor saying, dude, why do you have to put the TM after everything? And the response was, our lawyers made us just deal with it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it seems kind of bizarre. Like, are you really trying to, what are you trying to do with that? It's weird.
It is. It totally is. That's why I'm kind of like, you know, I mean, I actually was chatting with my business coach about it because I was like, why is this process taking, you know, that was my kind of question to her was like, why is my process taking so long? You know, what should I be doing? I go, I can't put the R. She goes, you need to put TM after everything.
Sure.
And that was her, advice to
literally
me.
Literally everything.
After like anything, she goes, anything that you're looking at doing and going forward, like you need to, you know, she goes, just make it small and tiny, which, you know, I mean, I have an Instagram account. I can't quite put like a TMF on my Instagram account. It looks a little weird, for example, because I can't figure out how to change like the font size. So maybe maybe people know how to change the font size. I haven't figured that part out yet.
Huga TM.
Yeah. And it's just like, wait, this is so, you know, but she said on everything you have there, you want to make sure you have like TM after it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So she goes, and again, it comes back to your intellectual property. She goes, you have to make sure it's your stuff. Like, put it out there. And I'm just like,
huh.
That blew my mind.
Sure.
Blew my mind. And I still, you know, I'm still like, okay, there's still things I find all the time. I'm like, oh, I don't have a TM after that. Oh, I don't have it after that. Oh,
right.
Well, you know, do I change it or just kind of leave mm-hmm. it as is and go, okay, I'll get there at some point.
I suppose just like changing your logo, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or changing it. I guess business names don't change that often, but logos certainly do. And when you right. realize how much stuff you put your logo on, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
is an expense with that.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's, I guess it's along those same lines for
similar,
sure.
Yeah, at least from a design point of view. That's
sure.
interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Awesome. So let's shift back into, you've been in business a year and a half now.
Yep.
You've had some clients.
Yep.
You've had some ups and downs. You started your business. You figured out the whole LLC thing, website thing, all that
yep.
jazz.
Yep.
So what is the next step for your business? Is it to expand to the point of having employees or?
Right now, I'm still the sole entrepreneur of the group, and it's really just getting the name out there more.
Okay.
And I'm always looking for more clients. Like, mm-hmm. I guess it really comes down to just looking for more clients that want to work with me along mm-hmm. those processes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also doing a little bit because, you know, November is Diabetes Awareness Month. I do have a new diabetes program that I am going to be putting out there online. For
okay.
folks, so they can't get in touch with me straight away, but, mm-hmm. you know, they can click on Vimeo and say, hey, oops, it's
sure.
right here. I can take it
gotcha.
From there
okay.
just to give them some other opportunities from that.
Sure.
So, yeah. So it's really, you know, just looking at, you know, building that client base and really mm-hmm. just, you know, especially as a newer business, because in a newer business without a brick and mortar, I mm-hmm. should even clarify it even more. It makes it even more challenging for people to realize, hey, where are you located? What do you do? How does it work?
Sure.
So it's really a lot of that awareness. I still feel like I'm in that awareness
sure.
part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No,
so that's,
only a year and a half in, that makes sense.
Yeah. And absolutely. It's only been maybe a year with the Healthy and Hugo switch to specifically that from the diabetes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So not even that since March. On the Healthy and Hygge side of it.
Oh, so super new.
So still super new on that okay. side of it versus with the previous
sure.
LLC side or with the previous, you know, specifically diabetes point. So it's still
okay.
super new in that aspect. So just awareness. I'm still in that awareness mode.
Sure.
Like I'm going to do a couple different, you know, trade shows and things like that coming mm-hmm. up and really trying to find, you know, within the markets that I'd like to work in, how do mm-hmm. you really do brand awareness during those pieces?
Sure.
Because it's easier said than done where people are like, I think I've seen you or heard of you. Or wait, who are you?
Sure.
How do you do this?
All right.
Yeah.
So I was meeting with a ad sales rep today. It was
yeah.
interesting having a conversation with him because they're selling their stuff that they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So have you found any advertising or marketing that works for you? That you know that if you do that, you'll get a return? Or is that still something you're looking
I'm
on
still,
discovering?
You know, I'm still looking and playing around with some of it. I have had print ads in a couple different places around Madison.
Okay. So I've done magazines or newspapers.
Both. I've done. Can I,
sure.
So I've done the Goodman Center. It
okay.
has a monthly newspaper that goes out. I've also advertised in Brava.
Okay.
So with Brava, like look for it in the November issue, I think
oh,
for
nice.
Sure,
All
and
right.
December issues for sure.
Sure.
Also done a little bit with like the. I'm blinking on the other thought there, like with
more local papers, or
more
something
local
like
type papers, and just
okay.
just where they find like deals of the week sort of aspects,
sure.
like online sort of pieces with it,
mm-hmm.
and then just a lot. Also, you know, I've tested out like the Facebook, I've tested out, you know, the different online
sure.
avenues as well, which don't, I don't know, that's a whole nother
sure.
Catch 22
sure.
of marketing sort of aspects.
Great way to throw your money down a black hole. And
yes.
Sometimes
yes.
you get something from it.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel about some of those.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is, you know, just going, you know, and really just spreading the word around. A lot of it is just meeting people in person. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of times they may be, you're not the right person for me, but I know someone that would work really well with
sure.
you.
Sure.
And so that word of mouth I've found has been one of the bigger
mm-hmm.
pieces than anything.
Sure.
And just, you know, meeting people also, you know, I guess along those lines at, you know, like I've gone to, oh, like we had the summer bodega over at like Breeze Field.
Okay.
So I meet different vendors along those lines and they're
sure.
like, oh, I know so-and-so that might be a good connection for you.
Oh, very
so
cool.
Besides the print ads, there's a lot of word of mouth sort of pieces too.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
So in regards to running the business, operating the business, what have been some of the struggles or challenges that you've run into just day to day?
Yeah. I mean, well, I think a lot of it is one, the trademark stuff we talked about before. Where do you put,
sure.
where do you put that in?
Mm-hmm.
Two, how do you really... You know, I have people that come to different events and they sign up that, yes, I would like this service, and you reach back out to them and they don't respond.
Oh, it's just crickets?
So sure. It's kind of crickets afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, really just how do you get to those next people and how do you get those next steps and get to the right people that really do want the services? Mm-hmm. And I think that's got to be one of the biggest challenges that comes from it. Mm-hmm. Is just really finding those people that are really looking for the different services that you can offer.
Sure.
And yeah, I think that's been one of the biggest challenges. And then where, you know, getting back to the advertising, what's been a waste of my time or money?
Sure.
You know, because there's been different trade fairs I've gone to and I'm like, yeah, that was definitely not what I thought it was going to be.
Sure.
Or that just cost me how much to do this and what was my return on investment on
sure.
it?
Sure.
And it's like, there was no ROI on that. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. What's next?
Right. I've been to those trade shows.
Yes. Yes.
You're just like, did they market this at all? Does anybody know that they're having one at this moment?
Yeah. I was like, you know, you sit there and you're like, all right, how do we get people to come to this?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yep. It's bizarre.
Yeah. That has been definitely one of those bigger things where I'm like, okay, that was either, I don't want to say it was a total waste of my time, because every time I always feel like I learned something from it.
Yeah, it's education.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is my education brain going, okay, I learned. So next time I'm going to do this, or next time I'm going to try this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it really helps, you know, whether I'm, you know, whether it's my advertising to more people, letting them know, hey, we're going to be here. So
sure.
Whether it's on like a Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, you know, what mm-hmm. sort of marketing, quote unquote, are you doing out to those different
sure.
people who may want to come to the event?
Mm-hmm.
And how is that event handled within the market that you're in? Like, mm-hmm. I think Madison, there's some in Madison that we do a really good job of, hey, we're going to market to this, this, and this.
Sure.
And you're like, hey, I just basically need to show up as the, mm-hmm. as a vendor. Other times it's like, I have to make sure I'm doing X, Y, Z to make sure people show up.
Sure. Fair. Totally fair. So you're married at the time that you started your business, right?
Yep.
You're married now, but.
Yep.
So when you told your husband, hey, I'm thinking about starting a business, what was his initial reaction?
So he comes from a family of business like owners. Like okay. his brother owns a business out in Seattle. His sister owns a business in Michigan. His sister-in-law and brother-in-law have a big catering company. So he's worked on that side. It was a lot of it was, okay, let's like, you know, we got to do some planning here. So it was really like, okay, what are those next steps? What's, you know, what's going to be beneficial? How, what's the revenue going to be in versus, you know, mm-hmm. the cost out. So yeah. So initially it was a good discussion
okay.
to decide, yeah, you're going to do it or no, you're not going to do it.
But it was very structured, right?
Yeah. Very structured.
There was
yeah.
no freaking out or anything like that.
No. Okay. He knew like when I had taken the small business class while I was still working full time,
sure.
you know, at a position that, and not that I'm not working full time now, but you
right.
know, I was working in a position full time that, you know, you were on salary
mm-hmm.
and was taking the small business class. He knew that there was something else coming up. And so in our world, making some preps for it in terms of how do I start saving some money beforehand
sure.
and making better choices before, because it is a financial risk. I want to say it is a financial
absolutely.
Risk. Yeah, I think that's the right word for it.
Yeah.
It's a financial risk going into it. How mm-hmm. do you prep for that? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, even now I make money,
right.
but not nearly as much as I was making,
sure.
you know, on a salary. So it's like, okay, how do we adjust accordingly? And so we did a lot of prep work on that, you know, about 6 months of prep work to say, okay, setting this money aside, planning mm-hmm. ahead for this, planning ahead for that, mm-hmm. so that I do have the freedom now
sure.
to really kind of go, okay. And we initially had planned to do just a 6 month trial and say, hey, either make it or break it after 6 months.
Oh,
like,
smart.
So,
yeah,
so where are we at? Like,
yep,
we can go from here or not go from here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically at that 6 month point, he's like, okay, I was not when we got to that 6 month point, I was not like making millions,
sure.
needless to say.
Right.
But it was at that point of like, okay, this particular type of business actually takes closer to a year to a year and a half versus just that 6 month point.
Sure.
So he's like, okay, we're at that point. You're progressing in the right direction.
Right.
Let's stick to it.
Extend the time frame.
Yeah. So we extended the time frame. And it was really, you know, was that we sat down and had these like legit discussions because,
sure.
you know, we had to really say, is this right or not right?
Mm-hmm.
And what does this mean for, you know, our financial resources at this point in time?
Sure.
And how much can you invest or not invest? And,
sure.
you know, like when we were talking earlier about some of the different, you know, where do you put your print advertising?
Mm-hmm.
I'm always like, okay, what's really going to make the most sense? What's going to
sure.
be the most return on investment in that mm-hmm. process too?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Oh, I appreciate you saying that in regards to the just building up a little bit of a nest egg or being able to afford starting a business.
Right, right.
Although there's some businesses that are relatively cheap to start, mm-hmm. there's still the whole you're not necessarily receiving the paycheck when you first start.
Yep, yep.
But that alone could challenge you if you don't have some type of a plan.
Yeah.
I talk to students all the time that are interested in taking care of this business plan, right? No problem. Great.
Yep, yep.
And then I just got an email from someone that I followed up with, that somebody took my class a little while ago. And I said, you know, where are you at with starting your business? And she's like, oh my gosh, these banks. These banks want me to actually lay down some of my own money to get a loan. And oh my gosh, in order for me to do X, Y, and Z, I have to front some cash, right?
Yeah.
And she was kind of complaining. And I was like, well, yeah, that's kind of how it works, right?
You
can only do so far with a smile and a handshake.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes you got to leave a money trail.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's totally, totally makes sense. It's like you have to put this money forward.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, I mean, in the health and wellness coaching sort of aspect and life and wellness sort of aspect, you know, the kind of clients that you want to attract, it may cost more money or less money depending on what area you want to focus it on too. Mm-hmm. But having that prep plan mm-hmm. is huge. Like, thankfully, my brother is a financial planner. So if I really needed, you know, some planning on those lines, I could call him up and be like, hey, what can you do? You know, help me along these lines.
Sure.
He'd probably say, well, you know, I'm in business for myself. It would cost this amount of money for you to do that for me. But,
right.
you know. But
you say, look, buddy, I felt good.
Exactly. I go, the reason that, you know, you were the smartest kid in kindergarten was because of me as an older sister. Here you go.
Nice. I set the precedent.
Exactly.
What is your favorite thing about owning a business?
Oh, wow. Where do I start? I think it's a kind of a dual kind of aspects with it.
Okay.
It's one, having the flexibility when necessary to be able to attend to other things that need to happen. Like my mom wants me in Chicago over Christmas to go see some Broadway plays.
Okay.
And so I have the flexibility to say, okay,
nice.
You know what? I can go do that. I have the opportunity to go and spend time with my family and be able to do that. So having that flexibility, mm-hmm. you know, I think is one of the highest, best things with it. But I think also on the flip side, that can also be a downside when you're like, hey, how do I make sure I manage my time well enough to get mm-hmm. fit everything in that needs to be done?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just also getting to meet all the different people that you get to meet in the process. Like, I love interacting with folks and being able to talk to them and being like, hey, let's see where we are and where we go from here.
Sure.
So, yeah. So those would probably be the two, I think, on social and personal type levels.
Okay.
And I think from an educational standpoint, it's just all the different pieces that I get to learn
mm-hmm.
in running a business.
Sure.
Because, I mean, you can have so much education, but until you put it into practice, you're kind of like, wait, what was I doing? How do I do this again?
Knowledge is useless without implementation, right?
Exactly. There mm-hmm. you go. Done.
Nice. So what are some of the things that you dislike about owning a business? Call it the worst things or pet peeves or...
Right now, I think it's really the challenge of making sure you get enough clients to be able to do those other aspects with it. Because I think a lot of the challenges come with, because there are so many people out there in the health and wellness realm right now, because mm-hmm. people are realizing, hey, maybe traditional medicine is not the direction we need to be taking.
Sure. Sure.
So how do you branch it out a little bit? And how do I distinguish yourself in that area? Like, I have these degrees and these certifications because of these degrees. So I'm mm-hmm. not just taking some fluff course and decided, hey, I'm going to become and call myself this.
Sure.
Like, I actually have some legitimacy behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, there's the other people that are like, I'm just going to call myself this. And here we go.
Hang out the shingle. Away we go.
Yeah. So it's finding that like happy medium between the two. How do you navigate through that to say, you know what, set it aside and keep going? So I think that has to be one of the biggest challenges for me right now
mm-hmm.
is really just saying, hey, I'm setting myself apart from this because I do have this education. I have done these aspects,
mm-hmm.
like maybe not in the business world, but I've been doing this stuff for 15, 20 years in other, you know, other venues.
You've got education and experience that you just can't match. So it's easy, right?
Yeah.
I think essentially what you're talking about is marketing.
Exactly.
And
well, that's,
every company is having that issue, right? So you're having a rough go.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say marketing wise. Oh, wow. Yeah. I guess that would be the perfect, you know, example of what it is. It's really just marketing in the right
mm-hmm.
terms and the right
mm-hmm.
venue into the right, you know, people that you're looking to work with
mm-hmm.
in that
mm-hmm.
process.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's a changing landscape. So that's,
And marketing, just how marketing has changed over time. I think, you know, so much more with social marketing now and social media and what that looks like
mm-hmm.
and how you do need to, you know, find and cultivate people from those different pieces as well.
Right, right. It's interesting just talking about social media and the volume of time you can invest in something like that and not necessarily see a return that pays for that time, right? As long as you're applying the cost of that time, whatever your hourly is.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I talk to people all the time. They're like, I ask them, how much does it cost to post on social media? And they say, well, it's free. Like, is it really free? Because if it's free, that means that you're essentially not paying yourself. And if that's the case, that's a terrible business model. Don't do that.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. You have to understand, like, oh, you spent all this time putting this thing together, and three people saw that post, let alone if they clicked on it, liked it, shared it, whatever.
Yep.
Just three people saw it. Eh.
Yeah.
Or even if 300 people saw it, but they didn't really do anything with it, right? Like, how many posts do you have to do to get somebody to take an action?
Well, yeah, not even that. You know, I mean, people are like, well, you only have this many followers on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. Sure, whatever. But it's also like, okay, great. Maybe you only have whatever number, you know, you don't have the blue check next to your name or whatever on Instagram sort of stuff. But yet those people respond to your post. They say, hey, oh, I like this. Or they say for some reason why they enjoyed it. Or have you thought about this? Or have you thought about that? And I think those kind of engagements are so much more valuable to an extent, you know, obviously, than just like, hey, I like something, you know, I gave it the thumbs up sort of aspect.
Yeah.
Like give the.
Yeah. It's interesting you point that out because I asked, I went to some presentation on some social media guru, right?
Yeah.
And I said, what is the number of likes or shares that I should be looking for in a post or just as my business page as a whole? And he's like, it doesn't matter, right? You could have 50 million likes and shares, but if nobody's actually buying from you, does it matter?
Right.
Whereas if you have 50 people that follow you and half of them are buying from you, what is that worth? Like, okay, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think people are chasing after maybe some notoriety that's artificial.
Yeah.
There's no real value to it, right? If you're not going to get paid for that notoriety, what's the point?
What's the point in it then? Yeah. And that comes back to, like, part of my whole brand is authenticity, and I want the authentic piece to it. Like, if you're going to follow me or you're going to like that, like, respond a little bit too. Like, say, hey, I like this because, or, you know, and actually people have interacted via those different platforms and been like, you know, so I now know, have other connections around the world that are like, hey, let's talk or let's, you know, kind of follow up in those processes, which... I never, you know, before I started doing the business stuff, I never had an Instagram, I never had a Twitter account, all those different pieces. And now it's like, huh, okay, they're wanting to interact and do those other pieces. So
very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Can you share with us what is the worst decision you have ever made in business and what was the result?
Well,
the presupposition there, of course, that you have made a bad decision.
I've always been so fabulous in everything I do.
This is pure perfection.
Yeah. Well, I think earlier this year I had been asked to be a speaker at I would have to pay for my own flight, I have to pay for everything to be there, but I had gotten a spot to be a speaker at a national convention.
So
I was like, all right, super awesome. And I sat there and debated on it for a while. Like let's say from a business perspective, the bad part was that I put all my money into it and bought my plane ticket, bought my flight, bought my, you know, all the other pieces to say, I'm going to go, you know, because it wasn't a paying position. It wasn't a paying talk. It was just to be able to go to it. So I bought all these different pieces and then I was weighing out my pros and cons going, is this really the market that I want to be in? Because it was back in the diabetes realm again. And I was like, you know, I'm really trying not to make all my focus there and ended up, you know, not last minute, but within a month or so of the national conference said, hey, I'm not going to do this.
Well, you pulled out. Okay.
So I pulled out because it was on the East Coast. It was one of, you know, I was not, you know, it was within driving distance. I totally went a different aspect.
Sure.
So I ended up, you know, getting the majority of my money back.
All right.
But I still have like a $400 plane flight that I guess it just now means I get to go someplace awesome and fun. But it's also that money that could have been utilized here now that that I could use for marketing of different ways in, you know, within the greater Madison area or greater Wisconsin area. So for me, it was kind of that I was so excited and so like, yes, they want me to come talk. But then it wasn't really the right direction for my company.
Interesting.
So how do I, you know, kind of change it up there, you know? And yeah, so that was a financial loss along those lines for sure.
That is so, are you from Wisconsin?
No, I'm from Michigan originally.
Okay,
so,
okay. This is it's so funny that you mentioned that because I come across clients all the time, even potential clients for calls on call.
Yeah.
Where I call it the apprehensive decision maker, where it's just like they are afraid to make a decision, even a bad one, good one, whatever. And I'm like, holy cow, this is just clearly a Midwest thing. We're so afraid to make a decision.
It's very interesting because I've lived on the East Coast as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first moved to the East Coast, and I've also lived in the Pacific Northwest, but when I first moved to the East Coast, like Midwesterner, you're on the East Coast, I thought, everybody here is so mean. They're all so straightforward. Like, they were all just really straightforward, which I was like, oh, but they make decisions. They decide, yep, this is what I'm doing. We're going to do it. And it's like, yeah, so much different.
Yeah, magical.
Magical. Yes, yes. So it's like, welcome back to the Midwest where, we, you know, we do care about other people. No, I'm just not saying other places don't, but we really do. We think about those other conscious things beforehand a little bit.
Right, right. But it's so apprehensive on some of these decisions.
Yes.
It's not necessarily like with this presentation, right?
Yeah.
And this, I'm just picking on you a little bit.
Oh, you're fine.
Just because of the sample story, right?
Yeah.
Realistically, there's not a right or wrong answer, right?
Correct.
You could say, I'm not going. You could say, I'm good going. And there's going to be consequences either way.
Yeah.
But in the end, there's no bad decision there.
Right.
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 So talking with people, and they're just like, oh, it's between X and Y. And like, both of those are really good options. So you really can't make a mistake here. The mistake is not deciding and ruining a day or a sleep or maybe 20 sleeps.
Right.
Over tossing and turning about what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh, it's frustrating.
Pros and cons list. So that is ultimately what comes down to for me.
Sure. I get it.
Yeah, it's like pros and cons. What's the benefit? What's not the benefit? Got it. All right.
It. Awesome. So what's next for your business in the next year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, definitely just still doing some different things around Madison. I've got a couple of upcoming talks and different things along those lines. Going to be at, you know, some of the different events that we have coming up.
Nice.
Here have a pre-diabetes/diabetes program that's going to be coming out online in November.
Mm-hmm.
Looking also, you know, waiting for that trademark to come through.
Sure.
You know, hopefully having some different clothing options available those lines.
Very cool.
So that's, you know, kind of a little bit of the direction I want to take with some of that. So, yeah, there's a lot of different pieces just kind of waiting to fall into place sort of aspect. Or I've done a lot of the prep work, so to speak, just waiting for those next kind of things to come through.
Nice. You got some growth opportunities coming up.
Yeah, here. Definitely.
That's awesome. Well,
definitely.
Thank you, Sarah. It's been awesome on here. And I just want to remind people, this is Sarah Lasker from Healthy and Hygge, which is Hygge.
Yes.
So tell them the website one more time.
www.healthyandhygge.com. Healthyandhygge.com.
Awesome. Healthyandhygge.com. Awesome. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching, co-owner of Calls on Call Shared Receptionist Services, and the author of the Bold Business Book, available on Amazon. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Sarah Lasker from Healthy and Hygge. Sarah, thank you for stopping by.
Hey, thanks, James.
This has been a blast, and holy cow, did the time go by. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., and the sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome, and if you do nothing else, you know it. Enjoy your business.